Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Singing love songs by myself.
Hello there.
Welcome
to episode two.
It's episode two of Norris and Parker's Sketch Therapy.
We've missed you.
Thank you for sticking with us. So updates. What have you been up to, Sinead?
What have I been up to? I've just been seeing you a lot because we live together. Well, we live round the corner from each other now.
Yeah.
Katie's moved to Acton. Mm-hmm. So we have been doing a lot of work. So we just go to each other's houses.
And
one of us makes a fry up.
Yeah, about the fry up.
A veggie fry up.
We have variations of the fry up though, don't we?
They
and it's not been that veggie. Come on, we've had quite a lot of bacon actually.
That's true. Usually some form of avocado.
Mm-hmm. Some form of avocado.
One of the many types of avocado.
Form of egg,
mushroom,
I think.
A form of egg, a form of tomato, a form of toast and a form of Vegemite.
All presented on a plate beautifully.
Yeah. And we spent Valentine's together.
We did.
With
your boyfriend.
Norman Bates.
Sinead's boyfriend
house.
Is like Norman Bates in that, I don't know, he's weird. Another news updates. We did a gig a couple of days ago, didn't we?
Oh,
for the first
God.
Time in a while.
Yeah.
Dusted off those cat suits. Went and did an improv gig. I mean, we didn't... I mean, I thought we hadn't bombed until an act came up to me at the end and said, don't worry, we bombed too. And then Sinead saw my reaction, which was shock.
I missed him saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw you looking really angry. And I was like, wow, you're going in a bit hard.
I know.
This poor guy.
Know,
but
yeah,
he'd basically gone, don't worry, we were shit too.
Yeah, I know. And I knew we were shit, but I didn't know we bombed. That's different.
We bombed and we resorted to desperate measures because Mercury was in retrograde. So we had nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
We had no ideas. We couldn't connect with the material. So I got my tits out.
And I motorboated them.
And we rubbed ourselves in toothpaste.
And then we're never, ever going to be on TV because we just resorted to 90s comedy.
Motorboated my tits.
Which that's Men Behaving Badly, yeah, which I played for Sinead and Norman Bates on the saxophone in Acton yesterday. So I will bring that saxophone in to the podcast for the next episode.
That is a promise. So should we start? Is it sketch time?
What?
Is it sketch time? Is it time for a sketch?
Do you want me to do the segue? Because you're so shit at them.
I know, I'm really getting into the segues.
Are you?
Yeah.
What, because you do them like, it's time for a sketch.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Should we do the segue together?
Okay.
Okay.
We're so excited to
present to you
our latest
sketch
for you.
I was walking home from work when they grabbed me from behind. They put a bag over my head. They threw me into the back of a van. They said if I made a sound, I'd never see my fiancé again. We drove for hours. And when we stopped, they dragged me out of the van. They stripped me naked. They tied me to a chair and I pissed myself. Of course I did. And then they took the bag off my head and I saw her there. Leanne, my fiancé, tied to a chair, looking terrified. But fit. Do you love your fiancé, said a voice. Of course I do. And if you fucking harm a hair on her head, I will fucking kill you. Choose, said the voice. You or your fiancé. Who lives? Who dies? Well, something just kicked in. An instinct, I suppose. I looked at her and I said, Leanne, you are the love of my life. You accepted me, my gluten intolerance, my micro penis. But I will love again. I choose to live. Wrong choice, dickhead, said the voice, and suddenly the bag was back on my head and there was a knife to her throat and I thought, this is it, this is when I die, so I shat myself. Of course I did. And then suddenly, the knife was gone.
And he took the bag off my head and I saw him all standing there. My best man, the Stags, my dad, all laughing at me. Not Leanne though, she just looked angry, but fit. It was just a stag prank gone wrong and I laughed too at the time, except it wasn't really very funny.
Stag parties are a British institution, but are they just a bit of fun with the lads or a hotbed of toxic masculinity? Hi, I'm Katinka Fitzharbot, and you might remember me from the documentary To Catch a Nonce, where I travelled to the French Riviera as a schoolgirl and caught lots of French pedos, but also this fantastic tan.
And I'm Pixie Alabama Watson. You might remember me when I pretended to be poor and working class for the hit documentary I, Pixie Alabama Watson, Daniel Blake.
And this is The Dark Side of Stag Parties.
An original documentary.
For Vice.
Vice. Daddy pays my rent.
Daddy bought my camera.
Daddy bought my ass cheeks.
Daddy bought my lips.
White girl privilege.
White girl tears. According to a recent Guardian article, 60% of men dread being asked on a stag do.
40% of men turn down stag do invite.
33% of men have stag parties die out.
And 3.3% of men that go on stag parties
actually die. Shocking.
So like Scooby-Doo and Nancy Drew, we've been digging deep into the dark side of stag parties. We spoke to a woman who makes her living from stag parties to find out what the fuck is going on.
Hello, I'm Sandra Bollocks. My real name is Eileen McHale, but that's another story. The story is, that's my name. And I'm a stripper. I got into stripping when my husband and children left me and I'd had a breakdown. Anyway, I took an evening class of burlesque at the community centre, and it turns out I've got quite the gift. So, I'm taking my debut hour to the Edinburgh Fringe this summer. All my school friends are going to be so surprised when they see me. Well, I've been toying with a few stripper names, and for a while I was Mary Queen of G-Spots. But now I've gone with, well, you've all heard of Miss Congeniality. Well, meet Miss Congenitalia. And you, sir, have a dangerous package in your pants. Oh, do you like triangles? Ooh, do you like them? Because I can fit my body into a tight triangle. I've had a breakdown.
Thank you, Sandra Bollocks.
She makes 100% living from being a stripper. I think I'd like that too. I've always preferred the company of men. I found women so bitchy. You can catch me, Katinka Fitzharbot, in my new documentary, When Harry Met Katinka, when I went undercover and seduced Prince Harry on his wedding night whilst Meghan Markle was Skyping her sick dad.
And catch me, Pixie Alabama Watson, in next week's documentary, Slut Drop Millionaire, where I just have a really great time in Mumbai.
Vice.
So that was Sandra Bollocks. That was either loved by the audience some nights and then a bit of a hit and miss.
What about the man in Soho when you said about having a dangerous package and a man in the front row said, I do have a dangerous package.
Yeah, look me in the eye, yeah.
And then you went and hid behind the curtain.
And my mum was in and I shouted for my mum from the stage.
And it was it's really horrible.
Yeah, it was really horrible, yeah. Which anyway, if you're listening, mate.
Yeah. Links to our theme. Yeah. The burden of being a woman.
The burden of being me. So we want to talk about things like periods.
All the classic female comedian topics we'd like to cover. I think we're just fed up. I feel a bit annoyed at the moment of all the things that you have to deal with as a woman that are just extra, like having to take 4 or 5 days out of a month where you have to carry on as normal, go to work when you're just having a really heavy period.
Your periods are really heavy as
well,
aren't
they? And my PMT is insane and I always turn into genuinely hysterical and really anxious and mad. And then get my period, and I'm like, oh, yes, that makes sense.
Well, that's good that it shows. I like getting a period because it means you feel normal. I hate it when it's late.
Yeah.
My period was weird recently. It was, like, lighter than usual, but went on for days. And usually that my periods are very regular. They're, like, 4 days, and they're just very, like, normal. I always get loads and loads of spots as well.
Which is also great. Another great thing. You start getting
hormonal acne. Oh my God, yeah, because I didn't
in
have a spot.
In your late 20s.
Yeah, I didn't have a spot until I was 25. And then I moved to London and got cystic acne from, I don't know, the stress or hormones. And I don't know how to get rid of it. I'm all right at the moment, but it comes in waves, like months. It's really horrible though, because it affects your confidence. So that's the burden of being me.
And smear tests are another thing. Yeah. Is it smear tests that are low at the moment?
20-year low. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I wonder why that is. They're so much fun. I love them.
I know, they are great.
That contact.
I love smear tests. Yeah. Smear tests, HPV, it's all great.
Yeah, so HPV, what is HPV?
HPV is, how do you say it? Human papillomavirus. And it's a virus that comes in different strains. And I think about 80% of people will carry the virus. Mm-hmm. And there's a few strains that can give you genital warts and a few strains that can give you abnormal cells on your cervix, which can potentially, in the future, if left untreated and they change, that it can lead to cervical cancer.
Which is why you should go for a smear test.
Which is why it's really important to go, yeah, for a smear test.
And so at the colposcopy, when you have an abnormal smear, they just check the cells, or do they laser off the cells at that point?
They
or is that
check,
later?
They do... They, I think they swab you with, I think it's like an iodine solution. They go up there with a camera, I think, and they swab and they to get a better look at the cells. And then they take a biopsy, which is like a push, but it's like a snap, which is a bit of a shock. And then they test the sample, and then they see what like level the cells are at. So it's like CIN or CIN or something, grade 1, 2, and 3. And then if it's at a certain level, because sometimes you can leave it and they might just go away of their own accord. Or they say, right, we need to get rid of them. But this is where the NHS is absolutely amazing, because they're just so quick and they just get you in. If the smear test is abnormal, you get a date, you go in for your colposcopy and your biopsy, then you go in, I think it's called an ALEEP procedure, and they use like an electrical current or something to get rid of it all.
So clever.
But they're so quick. I had the same because I had a lump in my boob. I've had two actually, and they get you straight in for a biopsy, and they're always like, this feels like it's probably normal, but it's best to just check, and they're really shit hot with that, I think. But yeah, so I had to go again because I had my like follow-up one, and had to go again for another colposcopy, and that's where you came with me.
I went with Sinead. It was great. Her vagina was projected onto a large HD screen for us all to enjoy, and actually we did write about it in a recent Time Out article.
Yeah,
we wrote about our experiences of going to a colposcopy together, and then a man tweeted us saying that he was glad that we were talking about this issue
in a
funny way,
because his mum had performed the first smear test and her I don't know how to say it, the colposcope, the thing that you use for a colposcopy, she called it Katie,
which is I think very is strange,
really lovely, and also common, because Katie's also a Somerset cider. So it's just a very
Christmas.
Popular name. But yeah, they're always very crowded, the colposcopies. There's always a rogue man or just rogue people, and then you're obviously sitting there with no pants on, just like spread eagle.
Both my smear tests, no one else was in the room.
The smear test, probably it's just a nurse, but then when
that makes sense.
Having a peer in, and you just lose all dignity and you don't care anymore, and it's like pants are off.
Like what happened, in the bonus episode I talked about at the hospital.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to that, there's more of the same.
Another annoying thing about being a woman is the biological clock.
Oh God, Sinead, it's so stressful.
It's horrible.
When I went back to Somerset for my birthday, two of my, actually every single friend I went to school with that still lives in Somerset is having a baby or has just had a baby. And so when I go home, it's just me going to houses to see babies and newborns to friends that I've known for like 15 years and holding the babies but I want to see my friends, and I love the baby. It's so nice. Obviously, I love babies, but they want to talk about the babies, and you kind of can't contribute because you aren't doing nappy changing and stuff. But they're like sat at home just with a baby all the time on their own. And a part of me is like jealous, because I'm like, oh, it's really nice that you have something that you love that much, and it's really beautiful, and you've got a child, and that's so grown up. And then part of me is like, oh, but I just want to be able to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's like I go back to London, and it's like I've got this like bohemian, crazy life compared to what they have. But I'm also really jealous and sometimes feel really empty and drained when I leave.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you know, I'd really want to meet someone, and I want to have children. And I think because my dad was like 50 when I was born, and my mum was 40. In my head, it's like maybe it's okay to people having children much later now.
That's
and
what
I am
I'm
only
hoping.
29, but I don't. You start like structuring your life differently, and like now, when I want to date a guy, it's like I'm looking at their facial structure and eyebrows as a potential mate, not like
checking their sperm count.
Yeah, which is always low.
It's just something. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. It's in my mind, I've always wanted kids, but it's always been far away. And I want to do all my selfish things. I love to have a career and travel and do all that. And in my mind, I'm like, I do want them, but I think probably just to fill a void at some point during middle age.
Yeah.
Just between, it's just a distraction, really. It's a selfish distraction between now and when you die.
Yeah.
You've just got people to look after you at the end, people to like pay for you when you need to go in a home.
I want to go to that actor home. There's a residential home just for actors.
Really? Oh, but is that not really?
That's riddled with HPV. You know that they have the highest level of STIs in old people's homes because they're all just fucking each other.
Do they?
Which is amazing news.
Really?
Because I want to be shagging until I am 90.
Yeah. I want to go the actor, although I think, I feel like it would also be annoying. I wouldn't go in a musical theatre actor's old people's home.
Like, there's no business like show business.
That's just the business of death. When you spoke to your friends, did you get a genuine answer about how painful it was?
They said it was really painful,
Like, but on a scale, is it comparable to anything? Like a bad period or a terrible shit?
Just that it's, they just said it was really horrible and that... I think it's just a really scary thing to have to go through, I think.
Have you read about some women masturbate when they're having, when they're giving birth because it's good pain relief, but there's a lot of taboo around it, obviously, and
so
shame.
How do you, I don't understand.
But like, I know, but apparently stimulation, clitoral, is like a natural pain relief and apparently it's, but then it's obviously not a popular
method.
I've not
read that.
Yeah, no, I've read it about it a couple of times and I think...
They don't show that on One Born Every Minute, do they?
And now for our very special guest. We're very excited to have her here today. In August 2017, she sold out her debut run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival with her critically acclaimed show, Lady Muck. It was a 5-star show and they had to put in extra shows because it sold out and was so popular. In 2018 at the Fringe, her second hour, Peachy, sold out within the first week. She had extra shows there as well and also had a week's run at the Soho Theatre. She's toured around Australia, India, she's going back to Australia to do a tour. She's had television appearances. She's absolutely amazing.
We are joined by Lauren Patterson.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good.
Lovely.
We're just drinking our gin in a can.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot I had one of these.
Yeah, go on, let's
do it. We're going to do a nice little...
Oh, that's the noise.
Cheers.
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 Thanks for coming.
When did we last see you? Was it in Edinburgh, like a midpoint of Frazzlement?
I feel like it was Edinburgh or Kilkenny.
Yes.
Very drunk in that weird little, it was like a secret garden behind a pub where all the artists were drinking. That was good.
And
I liked that.
Yeah, and people were confused why we were there. So, Lauren, thank you for coming in. What are you up to at the moment?
Trying to find a flat, which
is
very exciting in London.
Oh, it's
so
hell,
viewed
isn't
one
it?
Today that was above a Mediterranean food shop. Lovely. I was like, ooh, exciting. All the smells.
And expensive, I bet.
So expensive, but it was like a really awkward viewing because I'd got there at the same time as someone else. So we were viewing the flat together and I felt like in direct competition with them. And I was like, I loved it. And I was like, maybe I'm going to downplay how much I like it. So that he doesn't want it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then every time the estate agent pointed out a fault, I was like, that is a pretty big fault. that would make me not want to live here. But then I heard him say he was going to email more questions about the flat. And I was like, I want the flat.
So he put an offer in?
I don't know. Because it's like a loft room. Mm. And my boyfriend's 5'11" and we think he might be too tall. Right. But I'm like,
that's just what he's going to have to deal with,
I'm afraid. I could just get a shorter boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think that's
or
it.
Or he could just walk around like on his hands and knees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what are you up to this evening?
I am going to the Comedy Store to do their first all-female weekend gig.
Amazing.
Which is exciting.
Because it's International Women's Day tomorrow.
Women's Day, depending when this goes out.
And the theme of our episode is the burden of being a woman.
It's the title of it.
Take it as you will.
We're talking about all things, period, smear tests, contraception, fertility, or anything else, any other light subjects.
Yeah.
Mm. So if any of those... You weren't mentioning something about a smear test.
I had my first smear in November, my first one.
Really?
I feel like I was the most excited person ever
to get
a smear. Because I got my letter and it felt like, you know, the Hogwarts letter. And it's like, you're a wizard. And I was like, oh my God, I'm old enough to get a smear. And then I got really nervous about it because I was like, I feel like I feel like a lot of people maybe don't talk that openly about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm quite close with my mum. I'm a lot closer than I was, but I think like if I was any younger, I would have been so mortified. So I just rang my mum and I was like, does it hurt? And she was like, depends if you've got a big fanny or not. And I was like,
oh,
how
God.
Do I know if I've got a big fanny?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a question.
They will tell you at the smear
test. Yeah. Mum's just
if you get put in the sorting
laughter.
Hat, yeah. It's like vagina size. Hufflepuff is
like them toys that
vaginas.
Kids have when they have to put the things in the right holes. Like, oh, that's too big.
Slytherin has teeth.
Yeah. And like Gryffindor's just a very brave vagina.
You're very brave. Yeah. It's got a lot of soul.
What's the other one? What's the other one?
Ravenclaw. It's
Ravenclaw,
like,
yeah, it's just sealed.
It just reads a lot of porn but doesn't engage practically.
Yeah. Reads the comments.
Yeah. Are you on what contraception are you on? Just if you don't know.
Oh, well, I'm actually quite worried. I've been on the same one since I was like 16, 17, and it's Regeneron, and that's the one I always see people sharing like horror articles about.
Really?
Like, people have been sharing petitions asking for it to be banned and stuff, and I'm like, oh, but that's the one I've taken forever, and I've never had any bother, but all the loads of girls on my Facebook, I'll always see them sharing articles and being like, see, I told you this is why I was so mental.
What's
was
it called?
Regeneron.
Is it a combined pill or is it?
I'm not sure.
Do you have to take it every day or do you take a break?
Take it every day and have the 7-day break. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. But, and then I switched to a different one dead briefly where it gives you a week of like placebo pills or something. Mm. And I didn't like it. I felt like my emotions were all over the place. And I was like, I'm going to risk the blood clots, please. That's, that's what I'm going to do. But I feel like that's the thing. You're not like massive. They tell you like go on the pill, but then they don't tell you there's different kinds.
Yeah, and actually some of the pills are the same but they have different brand names.
Yeah, last time I went I told her I was on Regeneron and she was like, I'm gonna give you this, it's the same, it's just a different name. And I was like, that's confusing.
Yeah, that's confusing.
But I feel like I'm getting like scared by social media and being like, oh God.
And there was this thing at the moment, wasn't there, about the pill and you don't need that 7-day break.
Yeah,
and
so they're lying to you for like, something. Yeah. That was weird.
That's so weird. Yeah. I haven't been on the pill for a while. I started trying to do it the other day and I went crazy after a few days.
Yeah. I'm quite forgetful as well. Mm. Like, really forgetting. Sometimes I'll just pop a random one out and then I'm like, oh, which day have I taken? And then it's sort of like day 9 of the month and I'm like, oh, it's roulette at the minute. I do not know if I've taken these in the right order. But that's bad. Put the boys on it.
I guess another thing we can talk about, which is within the theme, is obviously, especially for us, I guess the burden of being a woman in comedy.
Yeah.
Is it still a burden? Or
I feel like every time I think it's not and that we're making progress, someone will say something or someone will make a little dig and I'm like, oh, we've still got a way to go, haven't we? We've still got a way. So I don't read the comments on videos of my stand-up because I've learned the hard way. They're mean. They are not nice. I did my first bit of stand-up on telly in the UK last summer and I was so excited to read the comments because I was like, I want to know if people like it. Like, I think that's all comedians want, validation. And someone had said, looks like a British version of somebody. So I was like, oh, I'm assuming that's an American female comedian. She was a porn star. And instantly, like, part of us was flattered. And then another part of us was like, I feel like I've been sexualized straight. And like, I feel like if I was a male comic, no one would have commented and compared us to a male porn star. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I've just been like, and I felt like degraded. Kind of. Not that there's anything degrading about sex work, but I was like, I'm fully clothed, telling jokes and somebody has turned that sexual and I felt a little bit like objectified and I didn't like it and I was like, I'm not reading comments anymore.
But it makes me vulnerable as well.
Yeah, I was like, oh, is that how your picturing is? I don't like that. I once got a comment on a YouTube video that said, I really imagine her getting gang banged by a group of older men. And I was I screenshot it and I put it on Twitter and I was like, always nice to hear from a fan. And he tweeted us, the guy who'd wrote it, and he was like, it's a compliment. And I was like, what? And he was like, I'm empowering you. And I was like, how are you? That's a clip of me at work. And at the time I would have been much younger. I think it was maybe like 22 or something. So like quite young. And I only had one clip of his on the internet and it was because I'd done like some competition final. He was like, I'm empowering you. I was like, you are not empowering me. I went, the fact you've said like, gangbang, that's such an aggressive image anyway. Group older men.
Yeah,
like, it really wasn't like, specific. Oh, I bet she has lovely sex with a nice man. Yeah, it would have taken that. But, oh, it was so aggressive. And I just try not to read them. But then one got brought to my attention the other day. And it was a clip of me in Melbourne. And someone had commented, I'd love to hear a female comedian who doesn't talk about her vagina. And I was like, I'm sure I don't have any jokes. And I watched the 6-minute clip, and all it was is I was wearing a sequin skirt, and I'd made one 10-second, not even that, 5-second reference. I went, I like this skirt because who wouldn't want their fanny to look like a disco ball, something like that. And that was in a 6-minute clip. That was all I'd said, and that was enough for him to be like, ugh.
Just completely, yeah.
I wish I could hear a female comedian who doesn't talk about a vagina. And I was like, I hate that. For two reasons. Because one, not every female comedian does talk about their vagina. But two, it means if you're a woman and you do make a joke about periods or your fanny or whatever, then people are like, see, every woman talks. So people who are making jokes about it almost feel like they can't. And it's like, but you can. Because if I hear a comedian making a dick joke, I'm not bothered. I'm like, you've got one. Why wouldn't you make jokes about it?
And then they're not suddenly representing the whole of like male
exactly,
comedians.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing where like... Well, I think you're just going to get objectified. I think if you're a woman in a spotlight like that performing, but part of it is also like intimidation by like a funny woman that gives a woman power. And it's like, oh, this is a different way of putting you down by turning you into like a sex object or objectifying and turning it into that. It takes away from what you're saying and the comedy.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
And it's like the only thing that they can then sort of like, they feel comfortable saying to you as well. Like they can't say, oh, well done on the jokes and stuff. It's like they can only approach you.
Yeah,
it's
like be creepy.
Yeah, yeah,
or,
yeah.
Like someone shared a clip on my timeline the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but she was an American comic, and I was sat watching her, and I was like, oh, I've never heard of her before, she's good. And then when I scrolled down to the comments, they were all about her tits, they were all about how she looked, they were all like, she's not funny, but then again, chicks aren't funny, blah, 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 blah. And I just sort of scrolled down for maybe about a minute, and I was like, this is depressing, this is so that instantly, a woman who's grafted and worked hard and is good at what she does, and the first, say, 10 comments were about her physical appearance. And I was like, but if that had been a clip of, like, say, Bill Burr or, like, an American comedian, the first comments would have been about how great he was, which rightly so. He's great. Of course, he deserves the compliments, but so do women. Like, why does the first thing have to be either an insult or, like, I'd shag her. Yeah. I'd do this. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want you to. Yeah. Like, that's not what this is for. I think comments should just be banned.
Yeah.
Like, I really, I think they're a cesspit. I think they're awful.
We did, when we did a interview with The Guardian recently, read the comments. It was so funny because they were like, Katie and Sinead, privileged names, clearly middle class. And there was a whole debate whether we were middle class or not. And it's like, well, they don't sound middle class because they've talked about poo, a common theme. But it was a really weird thing of like them deciding
and
all these things about
girls.
Us.
Didn't
and,
someone call you a disgrace to women?
Someone also
middle-aged man still left.
And
then, and also, probably didn't like the fact that we were being...
confident.
Riding our brains.
I think that's the thing a lot of people... I don't want to say... because I know it's not all men, but it does predominantly seem to be blokes who are the first to criticise a woman for talking about sex or being, like, confident on stage or, like, dressing how she wants. When I first started, I wore a beanie hat, leggings, and I was so covered up because I didn't want anyone to look at me. I wanted to be judged on what I was saying. But then, like, the older you get and the more, like, comfortable you get in your appearance, I was like, I want to wear skirts to gigs, and I want to wear dresses, and I want to dress nice. And it was such a weird transition for me to be like, I want to dress nice on stage, but I also don't want to be objectified on stage. And then someone said to us quite bluntly, they were like, Lauren, you're a woman, you could go out on stage in a bin bag and someone would find a way to objectify you. And I was like, that is true,
and you can't do that anything right. You'll get men being horrible saying, that's a female comedian, must be a lesbian, she looks like a lesbian.
We got a guy say that we look delicious in our skin tight cat suits and demonstrate positions around the showroom.
That's exactly why you're wearing them.
It's disgusting.
It's pretty gross.
But
it's nice to see. I was at least pleased in Edinburgh that most of the newcomer nominations this time were women.
Yeah.
And there is definitely seems like there's just at least it's more normal now.
Oh, definitely.
The mix of men and women doing
stand-up. I feel like the more women who get into it and who come up through the ranks, it's like, you know, is it Steve Martin, the quote, like, get so good they can't ignore you? I think that's the case very much with, like, women in comedy. But rather than get so good, get so many of us that they can't ignore, because we are in the minority, and I get that, and that's why I completely appreciate not every lineup can be 50-50. I'm totally on board with that, but I'm like, as long as you are regularly booking women, And the more and more women who get into it, it's going to reach a point where maybe those lineups do naturally get to, because there's going to be so many women to pick from. Whereas I get that we are a smaller pool at the minute, but I'm like, yeah, get so many of us, get a little army of female comedians and just absolutely spoil people for choice. Because
that's what people are hungry for.
Exactly.
And how do you feel about panel shows? Is that something you want to do? Because that's a very, can be quite male dominated.
Yeah, it's like a big boys club.
I've done like the run throughs for them, which is where you like go and you basically play it as it is, so like the production team can see who you are. And I did one that I thought was wonderful, and like everyone bounced off each other, and I was like, this is so friendly. And I got called to the second round, and it was very, I think there was 4 men auditioning and 2 women, and I felt like the men were all fantastic comics. I'm not berating any of them, but they were very loud and very sort of like not afraid to just cut in and like, well, my loudest voice is probably the equivalent of their like whisper. Like I can't talk loud at all. So I found that once they raised their voice to be like, I am the one being heard now, there was nothing I could do, because I was like, I physically can't talk above them. My voice will not go louder than like a big, strong, confident man's. And I felt just very slowly that I was just being pushed back and back, and to the point where I just sort of sat there and I was like, I feel like I can't compete. I can compete skill-wise. I am just as good a writer. I know my jokes are good. I was like, but I'm not loud enough to get these in. And I found it quite intimidating in a way. But I also think then that's on the host as well. Like, whoever was hosting this one was just like a member of the production crew. And I feel like whoever is properly hosting the show, it's their job to like make sure everybody's, because it's not just a case of like, oh, she's shy, that's why she's not saying anything. It's like, she's had 10 people talk over her, like she can't get a word in. So I hope that when people do get on these shows, that whoever's hosting is like aware of that it might be harder for a woman to get a voice in.
Yeah. Because it does just seem like everyone's friends and...
Yeah, the edit makes everyone look so pally-pally. And I just remember sitting there and being like, I work with these people dead regularly and nobody is... It was very cutthroat. It was like everybody wanted to get their jokes out to show they were the best, which obviously... But I was like, my voice doesn't go that loud. Excuse me. Excuse me, I'm sitting here. And I just sort of regressed into myself. Yeah. That's what I need. I need to just put my jokes on flashcards.
Yeah.
And I think these kind of panel shows do very much depend on the people who you've got as well. Like, if you've got, say, 4 very big, brash, loud personalities and one relatively, like, say someone like me or someone who's a bit more timid, then you must know that that person is going to struggle. Not that they're not as good at their job, but just in terms of, like, the way things are, they're going to be like, I can't compete with this.
Mm. So what are you up to next?
I go to Australia quite soon.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going out to do Sydney Comedy Festival, and then I go across to New Zealand to do that one. And then I'm doing a little, like, a road show around Australia. So they give you, like, a state, and you go to all the little, like, rural places.
Oh, my God, wow.
So that's going to be amazing. So I'm doing that for, like, 8 weeks, and then I'm not doing Edinburgh.
Yay, neither are we.
Yeah, we did. Oh, my God, we should do a female-led panel show instead.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I'd love that.
I'm very excited.
Oh, it's nice. It's a nice feeling, isn't it? Yeah.
Freedom.
What are you going to do instead?
I've booked a holiday.
Nice.
So I'm going to go to Athens.
We're going to Athens!
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're going to Athens and Santorini.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then I come back sort of like, and I think I'm going to spend the money and the time I would have been in Edinburgh learning to drive.
Oh, good idea.
Because then I'm like, oh, then I've still like achieved something. Because I feel like otherwise I'll just sit on my arse gloating at the fact I'm not in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, but how did I use all this free time that I've got?
So you'll still go to Edinburgh?
I'm going to go up and visit, I think, maybe for like a few days, try and pick up maybe a few like the late night gigs and get some like beer money. But I feel like I'll have FOMO, but at the minute I'm like, you've done the right thing.
Well, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you for having me.
I'm so hot in this room.
It's very hot.
I'm sorry if
I'm like really ridiculous. But thank you.
Lauren Patton.
Thank you.
Well, that was that.
Episode 2.
And it was very hot because our producer put on the heating instead of the aircon in the windowless room.
And now it smells of thrush.
And early menopause.
Another burden, being a woman.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. Thank you for sticking with us. Series 2, it's very exciting.
I know it's a slog, but there's only 4 more to go.
Yeah.
And they're not that long, so just bear with us.
Yeah, they're not as long as a period.
No. So
another burden.
Man up.
And join us for episode.
Hashtag not all men.
Yeah. Apart from all the men.
All the men.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. Oh, have we said about subscribing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, subscribe.
And leave us a review. That'd be nice.
Yeah, go on, dare you.
A nice review.
A nice heckle.
And on iTunes.
Acast.
Whenever you get your podcast.
Whenever you get your podcast.
And just listen, just subscribe. Just listen. Get in touch. Tweet us, NorrisParker26. Facebook us.
Instagram.
Yeah.
You said that.
Just get in contact. Write to us.
Yeah, go on. Write
just
to
write
us. Be
to
old
Acton.
School.
Yeah.
Write with a quill. Write to Acton Town.
And yeah.
And
see
kay.
It with a wax stamp. Be nice.
Been listening to a Red Apple Creative original podcast. For more great podcasts from Red Apple, just go to redapplecreative.co.uk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.